say that it's why is it so hard to say? If all it is to say that it's why am I in my own way? Why do I pull you close and then ask you for space?
If all it is to say that it's why is it so hard to say?
Every line on our hands align. When your hands are mine, it's like I'm whole again. Isn't that a sign I should speak my mind?
I've said those words before, but it was a lie. You deserve to hear it a thousand times. If all it is to say that it's why is it so hard to say? If all it is to say that it's why am I in my own way? Why do I pull you close and then ask you for space?
If all it is to say that is why is it so hard to say? Whoa, yeah.
When I close my eyes, it's you there in my mind. When to say, if all it is eight letters, why am I in my own way? Why do I pull you close and then ask you for space?
If all it is to say letters, why is it so hard to say?
If all it is to say letters.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, hour number two, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Me From Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this program part of your Wednesday afternoon. I'm here with you live until 3 o'clock until Joyce the Voice, the Voicemobile, takes over from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO. In Medford. You can call into the program as we are broadcasting live from the WMFO studios in Medford, Massachusetts at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's the phone number to call in. And we're going to start off the second hour of the program talking about the situation that is in New York City. Because this is something that I personally am very irritated about. I've been following this story for the last 36 hours now, I would say. And I have quite a few things that I really want to touch on when it comes to Kyrie Irving in particular. Because if we're going to be completely honest about something here, and that is, for me, Kyrie Irving just is taking a big risk and not playing at all. And I can't for the life of me understand. I can't understand why Kyrie Irving just absolutely does not want to get vaccinated. Now, before anybody starts assuming that I'm going to sit here and try to plead to people, go get vaccinated. That's not what this is about at all. Whatsoever, as a matter of fact. What this is about is someone who knew what the NBA mandated, what the New York City law, and as well as the Brooklyn Nets rules and regulations were as it pertains to vaccinations. You knew what the rule is. Not was, is currently. And you're saying, I'm not getting vaccinated. And for I don't even want to try to understand whatever crazy method or reason why Kyrie doesn't want to. That's his choice. But understand that with that choice comes consequences. And lots of it. Number one, I don't even want to talk about the money just yet. No. Number one, you lose a massive amount of credibility in our locker room. I mean, weren't you the same player that vacationed or tried to get KD to come join forces with you in Brooklyn in the summer of 2019? Oh, yeah, that's right. You was that player. And then also when it came to James Harden, you tried to get him to, you know, hey, come on to Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn, you should try to make a move for James Harden once he made it clear that he wanted to be traded a year ago. And now, due to the vaccine mandate, you suddenly want to play hero and not get vaccinated and be the voice of the voiceless? Okay, you can be the voice of the stupidity, of your own stupidity. Have fun with that. Have fun with that. Because at this moment in time, this is what's happening. This is bigger than Kyrie Irving. This is about the team. And who's to say that the Brooklyn Nets can't win the NBA title without Kyrie Irving? Because after all, they still got a pretty good team. You still got James Harden. You still got Kevin Durant. You still got a pretty solid bench in Brooklyn. But the bigger issue that I personally have is that Kyrie Irving is reportedly upset that vaccine mandates are costing people their jobs and that he wants to be the voice for the voiceless. Do you honestly think that this is the hill that you want to proverbially die on? Do you think it's really worth it? Considering that Brooklyn and the New York City and the Brooklyn Nets, they are not the only team or jurisdiction that requires all players to be fully vaccinated. You realize that, right? So, what's the issue? What's the issue? I want to start playing this clip. This is from First Take today. Stephen A., Molly Karam-Rose, Jay Williams, and as well as Marcus Spears. This is what Stephen A. had to say as it pertains to Kyrie wanting to be the voice of the voiceless. This is courtesy of ESPN. Give me one quick moment.
Our position on Kyrie change.
Yes, it should change in regards to Kyrie. It should be even worse than we originally imagined. You know, I have to be, and I try to be, incredibly careful, fellas, in terms of I try to focus on what you do, not who you are. People make mistakes. None of us are flawless. All of us have made mistakes. We'll continue to make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We get all of that. But I've been covering the NBA now for almost 25 years. I mean, this is some of the stupidest nonsense I've ever seen. Just flat out stupid. So let me get this straight. So if the reports are true, because we don't know whether they are or not, okay? But let's give credit to Sham and others who have reported this. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Let's go with that, okay? If it is true, Jay, if it is true, Marcus, so you don't have a problem with taking the vaccine, your position is that you're going to sit up there and compromise the championship aspirations of an organization you signed on to represent. You coaxed Kevin Durant into signing on to represent. You played a role in coaxing James Harden into signing on to represent. You're going to compromise all of that because you want to give a voice to the voiceless. Really? And how is that going to work out for you, Kyrie Irving? You're going to disappear from the game of basketball? Who the hell is going to be interested in what you have to say when you have proven that you can't even be trusted enough to do your damn job?
Spot on. And for those of you that are out there thinking, well, is his body, is his rights? Okay. You have a job to do. If your job requires you to go get vaccinated, and as I said before I played the clip, that your responsibility is to play basketball for the Brooklyn Nets and that you played a part in bringing in Kevin Durant and James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets to play alongside with you. And now suddenly, because you want to be the voice of the voiceless, that you choose to be the voice of the dumbasses? Is this what this is? Because right now, this is what it's going to come to. The Brooklyn Nets are going to find themselves in a position where they're going to say, oh, really? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We are going to say, bye-bye, pack your bags, you got to go. KD, according to multiple indications, is getting fed up. I don't blame him one bit. He agreed to join Kyrie in Brooklyn to win a championship, not to put up with the shenanigans. This particularly, and I don't have a problem with Kyrie Irving in terms of his social justice causes. I genuinely don't. I really don't. I have supported him on different occasions when it came to standing up and for his social work in the community. But this is not one of those times. This is one of those times I'm looking at him and saying, hey, wake up. You really understand that the Nets are not playing around with you anymore. This isn't you disappearing for days on time with no sort of contact with yourself or the team last season because you wanted to take a break. You didn't feel like playing basketball. This is not what this is. This is worse. Here's more on Stephen A. on this particular matter from First Take this morning.
Job you volunteered for. This ain't the military where you were drafted. You chose to play basketball. You chose to enter the NBA. You chose to sign that contract as a free agent to go to the Brooklyn Nets. You chose Brooklyn as your destination. You chose the Nets franchise to represent. You asked KD and James Harden to come on board with you in Brooklyn to establish your own legacy. And then you leave them hanging. Because of what exactly? Your own individual principle. I am not calling Kyrie Irving stupid. Kyrie Irving, I happen to believe, is an intelligent brother whose heart is in the right place. But now you've regressed to an alarming level of self-righteousness. It not only makes you look hypocritical and untrustworthy, it makes you look what I know you are not, which is flat out stupid.
You can't fix stupidity, ladies and gentlemen. You can't fix stupidity. This is a classic example of Kyrie. We all know that you're an intelligent man. I believe that you're an intelligent man despite your shortcomings and everything that you did here in Boston. But that's neither here nor there. But man, if there's one thing that Stephen A. absolutely nailed was that in terms of his behavior, it has regressed within the last 10 months alone. He's right. He's absolutely right. Kyrie, what is your point in doing all of this? you're willing to compromise the locker room and you think that everything is going to be kumbaya should you decide that you're going to walk right back in those doors. That might not be the case. Because there's an old adage that goes, when someone gets fed up and tired of your antics, they just get up and go. They don't even give you warning. I'm done. Screw this. Why exactly should I continue to put up with this? Why should I continue to put up with you? You made it abundantly clear that this is not about the team. This is about you. And guess what? In the NBA, your selfishness can only get you but so far. And I believe that Kyrie has hit a point in which that his selfishness has got him to a dead end in Brooklyn. Stephen A. continues on with this discussion.
It's the stupidest thing that I think I've encountered with NBA players. Like, you gonna sit up there and not play and not take a vaccine that evidently it's not you. You don't have a problem with it, according to the reports. You just want to give a voice to the voiceless? Really?
Really? So I want to make sure I understand this correctly, ladies and gentlemen, for everyone that's listening out there. You don't have a problem with the vaccine itself. But you're saying, I want to be a voice for the voiceless? And who exactly is the voiceless? Please enlighten me. Honestly, Kyrie, please enlighten me as to who on earth is the voices that you're referring to. Because last time I checked, the same people who are sadly being told that they're not welcome. I'm talking about specifically strictly within the sports world. I'm not talking about the common man now. I'm talking about within the sports world that are told, get vaccinated or else, or you just simply will not be allowed to join the team, or not, you'll not be welcome to join them at training camp. Guess what? That is a choice that they're making, and there are consequences. Go ask Josh Archibald of the Edmonton Oilers. If you don't know his story, I strongly recommend that you Google his name, Josh Archibald. That's just one example. Stephen A., take it away.
You know what? I'm going to stop myself, Molly,
Marcus, Jay. Let me say something about
the hypocrisy. I'm not going to say anything else right now. I'm scared. I'm actually scared for the rest of the show. Okay. And it wasn't what I might say.
All right.
Go ahead.
Jay, before I come to you, because I know you have information on the subject, I just want to say, when you bring up the issue hypocrisy, I think there's two issues that stand out to me. One, he wants to be a voice for the voiceless, but we haven't heard from him. So if you want to stand up, you have to speak out on these issues so we understand.
How can you possibly say that I want to be a voice for the voiceless when you haven't even spoken to anyone else? How? How does that work? It's like saying that I want to stand for the voice of those who are suffering from low wages and poor treatment in the coal mines. However, you never showed up to work. How does that work? Isn't that like ironic and hypocritical? If that isn't, then I don't know what is. I don't know what is. Like, can you? I want to try to really boil this down as much as I possibly can. Imagine the following scenario. And I'm going to use Boston sports as an example so that for all of my local audience, that people that are listening locally, could understand this premise where I'm coming from. Let's say, for example, someone of high importance to your team. I'm going to use the Boston Red Sox as an example, because they are about to play for the American League pennant in just 2 days. Let's say, for example, I'm going to go with either Rafael Devers or Chris Sale. No. I got one even better, ladies and gentlemen. Nathan Eovaldi. Let's say Nathan Eovaldi wanted to pull the same thing that Kyrie Irving is pulling right now in Brooklyn with the Boston Red Sox. And oh, by the way, They're about to play for American League pennants. You tell me honestly how that would go down here in Boston or greater Boston or across New England. You tell me. You tell me. I want to be the voice for the voiceless. But you haven't even spoke to anybody. How does that work? Molly Karen, please explain.
We can't just, you know, hear a story and we're not even sure whether it's true or not. And the other piece is that he's upset about people losing their jobs. But what about all the people that lost their lives during this pandemic?
God, no.
That's another piece of hypocrisy. So those are the two issues I struggle with. I love a philanthropic heart, but it just doesn't seem to be consistent here, Jay.
Yeah. S.A., I want to go back and dig into something that you said, an imperative word you mentioned earlier, that was legacy. And a lot of times as a player, you sit around in Swagoo, you know this, you think about throughout some juncture in your career, what is the legacy for me going to be? How am I going to be remembered? Because for me, I remember Kyrie Irving having a legacy shot when he made a clutch three-point shot to beat the Golden State Warriors in the 2016 NBA Finals to deliver Cleveland their first world championship.
I want to go back on what Marlon Karam said moments ago, because that really, and I do mean really, struck a core. And I'm about to get real personal here. Seriously. I plan to, and I intend to get real personal. As you heard Molly say in the program from this morning, this was from today, this morning on First Take on ESPN. What about the millions of people who have died from COVID? You talk about wanting to be the voice for the voiceless. What about the people who have died from COVID in this pandemic? There have been 4.8 million people who have died globally since the beginning of this pandemic in March of 2020, since last year. Among that 4.8 million was my stepmother and my uncle on my father's side of the family who died from COVID. So before you get high and mighty and talk about, I want to be the voice of the voiceless, the hypocrisy that angers me greatly is that you show no damn regard for those who have lost family members to COVID. Like, not everything has to be about you. It's not about you. How about the people that you're surrounded by and how it's going to impact them? What part of not being a selfish prick do you not understand? And I'm sure for any one of you who are listening, who have either known someone who has lost someone to COVID, or someone that's in the hospital right now to COVID, or know someone directly who died from COVID, I'm sorry, but this bothers me, and it should bother you. It should. Like, I didn't realize the level of hypocrisy that Kyrie Irving was on until I really thought about it, and as I'm playing the clips here in this segment, and I'm beginning to really just reflect upon everything that was said and everything that has been reported so far. How can you possibly sit here and think that Kyrie wants what's best for the Brooklyn Nets? It's not about the Brooklyn Nets. It's about his self-serving interests. That's what this is about. I mean, my Lord, I may actually have to agree with Stephen A. on this particular topic here. We are about to go on music break, but before that, I would like to play this PSA real quick for this hour. And it's brought to you by the people here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Stay tuned.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. We are going to take a music break, and coming up next, I am going to get into some Red Sox discussion as they are about to start their best of seven American League Championship Series beginning Friday night. What a time it is for Red Sox Nation and for Boston sports fans. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Me From Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this program part of your afternoon. I'm here with you for another, say, roughly 20 minutes or so. So during this time, I would like to go over a couple of items in which that I have completely neglected throughout this entire show to do. So I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity that I have now to do exactly just that. So with that being said, I would like to remind everybody that all broadcasts of the Strictly Right Show is available on iHeartRadio as part of the Strictly Rights podcast. If you type in the Strictly Rights podcast, you can listen to the program on demand wherever you may be, whenever. You can find it on iHeartRadio, the Odyssey app, formerly radio.com, and all major podcasting platforms as well. And I would also say to that, you can also find it on my brand new website. Yes, I do have my own website now. It is up and running. It is live. It is fabulous. I'm going to tell you exactly what that website is in just a second. And this website was completed. Actually, it started construction a week ago. Got about maybe 80% of it done. So I am really excited about it. And that the website is shukriusa.wixsite.com. That it is, again, Shukri Writes, Shukri USA. It is shukriusa.wixsite.com. That's shukriusa.wixsite, WIXSITE.com. So you can go there. You could check out the website. It is loaded with content. You see my on-air experience as well as all episodes of the Strictly Rights podcast, which also was simulcast on YouTube as well. And you check out my blogs and the live stream as well. By the way, I also want to mention that if you're on the website, you can also, in fact, listen to my radio show specifically whenever I'm on air via the website. You go to my website. The link is there. You see it under the tab live stream. When you click on it, you'll see the Strictly Right Show 91.5 FM WMFO. You're going to see the TuneIn Radio live stream there. And then my other radio program that I do in this greater Boston region as well in the live stream. So whenever I'm on the air, you'll be able to listen to the program through my website as well. With that being said, I also want to announce that I believe tomorrow I am also on the air. Tomorrow morning, I will let you know the time in just a second. But first, follow me on social media on Twitter at Shukri Writes, as at S-H-U-K, S-H-U-K-R-I-W-R-I-G-H-T-S. That's how you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at @SWritesRadio_, as @SWRIGHTS _. I'm on the airwaves tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to noon. So for those listening now, just giving you the heads up, I'm on tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. You'll be able to listen to me live right here on the same airwaves. The Strictly Right Show will be on the air tomorrow on 91.5 FM WMFO and streaming on the TuneIn Radio app. And you can also listen to the program live on my website as well. That's shukriusa.wixsite.com. The website was created by wix.com. So got to give them a shout out as well. And also, I also want to make a quick special announcement while I still got the opportunity. For many of you,
many of you know that I was blessed with an opportunity to, you know, to do play-by-play for hockey this season, specifically calling games in the EHL, the Eastern Hockey League. I got an email earlier today for a different opportunity in which that I will be calling select high school football games starting next Friday. Next Friday, October 22nd, I will be broadcasting, doing play-by-play of my first ever sporting event, high school football between Haverhill and Central Catholic up in Haverhill. So I will be doing the play-by-play of that game, and I will share with you the link of how you can listen into the broadcast, and as well as, I don't know if you'll be able to view it on like online or something. I don't know, but either way, I will share with you the link coming up on later on today, or I'll share with you further more information about that once I announce it on social media. If you want to call in and talk to me while you still can, you got about maybe 15 minutes or so until I wrap up the program. You can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. And man, what a time. What a time it is in Boston right now. The Red Sox, they are about to play in the American League Championship Series, a series that will begin this Friday night. And how exciting can you be? You can be really excited. I'll be the first to tell you that, listen, I doubted this team. I've had my doubts that this team was not going to go very far. This team was not going to be able to get past the Rays, much more or less make the postseason. I mean, more or less beat the Yankees in the wild card game. But here they are in the American League Championship Series against the Astros in a rematch of the 2018 American League Championship Series. So it is absolutely remarkable when you consider what the expectations were for this team moving forward, especially going back in spring training. Spring training, I don't think anybody really expected this team to be a World Series contender. Let's be honest. After the year that they had in 2020, to see the Red Sox be in the position that they're in now is nothing short of incredible. And listen, this team had a lot of ups and downs between having a 10-game lead in the American League East. Seemingly things were going to, you know, be a complete blowout between the Red Sox and everyone else in the AL East. That includes the Tampa Bay Rays, the Yankees, and the Toronto Blue Jays. The Red Sox had a horrible second half. Many people weren't even sure or didn't even buy into the team that they were going to make the playoffs and so forth. But you talk about what this team has been able to do once they got to October. And here we are. We're talking about the Red Sox playing the Houston Astros for the right to go to the World Series. If you want to share in your thoughts about the Red Sox and anything else, call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. There's a lot I definitely want to point out here as it pertains to the Boston Red Sox. Number one, how did they get to this point? And I think it's a very fair question to ask. How did they get to this point? Can you say pitching? Sure. Time of hitting? Absolutely. And one of the things that I realized with October baseball is that you have to have a manager that is not afraid to take risk. You have to. Because playing conservative baseball doesn't win you championships amongst being analytically driven. It doesn't win you championships in October. But what does is using good baseball sense, and as well as combine that with some analytics, some and so forth. But more importantly, and I do mean more importantly, you have to have an IQ as to when you make certain moves. When do you take starting pitchers out? And that's something that I've noticed with Cora so far this October, is that he is not afraid to give his starting pitcher the quick hook. Hey, you're done. You're done here. We're going to turn it over to the bullpen now. And then also in conjunction with that point, he's not afraid to put his starters in the bullpen. I mean, go ask Garrett Whitlock. Go ask Chris Sale. Like, I mean, if you really think about it, Alex Cora did the very same thing in 2018, 3 years ago. If you want to reflect on that championship run as to what Cora did and what made him successful that October, absolutely, because it has everything to do with what he's doing now. But here are some parallels that I will draw. Nathan Eovaldi, who was a starting pitcher at the time, and he still is currently, obviously, he was placed in the bullpen. He came up huge for the Red Sox in the LCS, but especially in the World Series against the Dodgers coming in and out of the bullpen. And also, now, Eovaldi is the ace right now. No question. He is the ace of the staff, and he's pitching like it. I mean, can you go back and look at his numbers in October? I mean, if it's not disgusting, then I don't know what is. Like, it is absolutely absurd. Like, just how good he has been in October. When you talk about a guy who... We talk about a guy who absolutely... Who absolutely is not afraid to come in and get the job done. Like, think about it for a moment. Eovaldi, in October in his career, he's what, 4-1? He's 4-1, and he's got an ERA like us under 2. And it's absolutely amazing just to see what he's been able to do in October. And we talk about a guy who was named an All-Star this year. Eovaldi has been undoubtedly the MVP of the Red Sox starting rotation so far. And he is going to be needed to come up big again if the Red Sox are going to advance to the World Series. But I also will say this as well. Rafael Devers' health is something that I am concerned about, as well as JD Martinez's ankle. But both of them have played through those injuries and have been able to come up big at points during the Tampa Bay Rays series, during the division series. But the one question that I will pose to you Red Sox fans is this. If there is one concern that you do have about this Red Sox team in the ALCS against the Houston Astros, what is the one concern that you do have? Is it the rotation? Is it the bullpen? Is it offensively? Hit me up. I'm here with you live at 855-915-9636. 855-915-9636 is the number to hit me up. For me, it's going to be the bullpen that I am most concerned about. Because I didn't like what I saw in games 3 and in games 4 from the bullpen. Where the bullpen definitely leaked some oil, for lack of a better term. They leaked oil. Especially when you blow a 5-2 lead in the 7th and 8th innings, and you had to go back and summon Garrett Whitlock again out of the bullpen, and he got the job done. Thankfully, he got the job done. But the bullpen I am most concerned about, as to what is going to be the expectation moving forward for the bullpen for this upcoming series. Because let's face it, when you talk about the Red Sox and you talk about where they are currently with the pitching rotation, the rotation I'm not necessarily concerned about. Because right now, if you're Alex Cora, you can line up the rotation as you wish. You got Eovaldi going presumably in game 1. You got Eduardo Rodriguez potentially in game 2. What about games 3 and 4? Those games 3 and 4 will be here in Boston on Monday and Tuesday, respectively. Do you put Chris Sale back in the rotation, or do you put him in the bullpen? And if I'm Alex Cora, I'm putting him in the bullpen. You don't trust Chris Sale at this point. Here's my reason why. He's not right. He's physically not right. Of course, he's going to fight and claw his way back to prove that, well, I'm fine. I'm good enough. I can get the job done. But the reality is this. Physically, you're not right. You're coming back off of Tommy John surgery, and you are more effective coming out of the bullpen. You're able to just let it loose. You're not worrying about conserving your energy. And let's face it, you are equally as effective out of the bullpen in 2018 as you were as a starter when that postseason you were not right physically either. And that was before the Tommy John surgery. That's something to just keep in mind and just to keep that perspective. So if you're the Boston Red Sox at this moment in time, what concern would you have if you are a Red Sox fan, if you're a Red Sox nation? Between the starting rotation, the bullpen, and the lineup, what worries you the most? I think that's a question that you can ask and have discussion amongst yourselves. Because it's not crazy to wonder if what Alex Cora has been able to do, can it continue to work, especially in a best of 7? That is something that I do wonder. But I also will tell you this as well. And we got about maybe 5 minutes left before I turn the airwaves over to Joyce for the Joyce Mobile. Joyce the Voice. I will say that the difference in this series between the Red Sox and the Astros is going to be Alex Cora. The decisions that he makes, it matters. It absolutely matters. If you don't think that managing in October absolutely matters in terms of the decision that you make, the pitching, how you set your lineup up, and as well as your usage and your handling of the bullpen, go ask the last 7 World Series winners. It absolutely matters. But you talk about a man who knows this team. I mean, this is a man in which that, after all, if we're going to talk about Cora, we got to talk about the big story about Cora and all of this. 2020, we all know what type of year it was for the Red Sox, especially for Alex Cora in particular. Having been let go for his involvement in the cheating scandal with the Houston Astros, that's also a big storyline in this series. This is the first time that Cora and the Red Sox are playing against the Astros since the cheating scandal. So that is going to be very interesting. But you talk about a guy who absolutely knows absolutely what he's doing, the baseball IQ, in terms of everything that he brings to the table, in terms of he knows the pulse of this team, he knows how to handle the pitchers, he knows how to handle the guys that are banged up right now. Cora's value to the 2021 Red Sox cannot be overstated. You talk about a guy who plays chess, not checkers. And if you are the Boston Red Sox, you absolutely need him to play chess against a manager who is looking to get back to the World Series for the first time since 2002. And I'm talking about Dusty Baker, because the last time he managed in the World Series was 2002 with the San Francisco Giants. He's had some close calls in his career. Remember, he was also the manager of that 2003 Chicago Cubs team. And we all remember that Game 6, that Steve Bartman incident that took place at Wrigley Field in Chicago. He was the guy that was in the dugout. So he hasn't been to the World Series since. And I'm sure that the Astros are going to have their own source of motivation and so forth, yada, yada, yada. But let's face it. We talk about Alex Cora being the biggest difference maker in this series between the Red Sox and the Astros. In a series that starts on Friday night, Cora is that guy. I wholeheartedly believe that managers oftentimes win you series just as much as they potentially can lose you series in the postseason. This will absolutely play itself out to be true. And it's going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds beginning on Friday night. And I will have a full preview of the ALCS tomorrow on the Sugar Right Show from 10 a.m. to noon tomorrow, as I'll be filling in for those 2 hours right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, you got the Voicemobile, Joyce the Voice. She is back in the house, ready to rock and roll, as I am ready to say peace out. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Kick back, relax, enjoy the tunes. You've been listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscaloosa, from radio. This is Shukri Wright signing off. I'll talk with you all tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscaloosa, from radio.
Woman of the country, now I find you longing in your soft and fertile dew too. And I wish the stars to satisfy your longing for the warmth and tender shelter of my body. Oh, you're
WMFO Medford.